This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, our message is, Believe in the Lord your God.
We are in a series of messages taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Lord willing, this is the end of the series. In this series, we've been looking at a promise that God has made. And it's one of the most important promises in all of Scripture. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at verse 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. This has been the theme text that we've been looking at for the past number of weeks. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And the thing that we have been dealing with and picking up on is God's promise to fight our battles for us. How many of us here today have some kind of battle that needs to be fought in your life right now? Let me just take a little. Amen. Almost unanimous. Amen. You see, we all have battles that we're going to have to fight in life. Sometimes it's family battles. Could be your child. Could be your husband. Could be your wife. Could be in-laws. Messing up things in your family, and your family is all up in confusion. You've got some battles to fight. Amen? Could be battles on the job. How many of you have a job where there's a lot of stress and pressure? I just wonder. Let me just see. Amen. You've got a battle to fight every day on the job. Isn't that right? Sometimes it's just bad economic times. There are a lot of people today who are looking for jobs and can't find them. And you got to fight that battle of how are you going to keep afloat economically when the times are bad. Sometimes it's sickness. Do you know that even as a Christian, the devil will still attack you in your body? Amen? Now we have a God who's a healer, praise God. But the battle still has to be fought. And let me tell you what the worst one is. The worst one, I believe, is people in your life who just won't do right. Amen? When you get somebody in your life that is stubborn and hard-headed and contrary, don't look around at anybody in the building. Amen. And having to deal with that person on a day-by-day basis, that can drain you. That's a battle that has to be fought. And the thing about it is, how many of you know you can't control how other people treat you? Amen? See, you're not in control. That's what makes the battle so much more difficult. And that's the thing about all of these battles. They involve situations that we cannot control. And that's just like what happened to the people of Judah when they, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, were faced with huge armies that came against them. And they looked and said, this is more than we can deal with. We cannot handle this situation. But they learned how to get themselves into position so that God was able to fight the battle for it. Look for them. Look back at 2 Chronicles 20:17 one more time. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, that's what we've been talking about. God wants to fight our battles for us, but we have to be in position. If you are not in proper position, then God will not be able to fight the battle for you. And so what we've been trying to understand as we've gone through this passage of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is how to get ourselves in position for God to fight the battles in our lives for us, because, catch it, how many of you know God has not lost a battle yet? Amen. Amen? If we can get God fighting our battles for us, we're going to win. Amen. So we need to find out, how do we get into position? Well, today, in what is supposed to be, praise God, the last message in this series, we want to answer that question by kind of looking back over everything that we've talked about and summing up what it takes to get into position. Look at verse 20 of 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. Here's a verse that's going to help us to see, bottom line, what it is we need to do in order for God to fight our battles for us. 2 Chronicles 20, 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." Let me tell you what the bottom line is on getting God, being in position for God to fight the battles in your life for you. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in God. Look at what he says. He says, if you believe in him, and if you believe the prophets that he sent, that is to believe the word of God, he will establish us and he will prosper us. What does it mean to be established? Think about the situation they were in. Here they were, this small nation, the host of the enemy coming against them. What was God promising them? You will not be overrun. You will be able to stand your ground. Nobody will be able to move you. Go over to 2 Thessalonians in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. Look at this. When we are facing a battle in life, we need to have the strength to stand and not be moved. We need to be able to not be confused about the choices that we face in life, who our friends are going to be, what kind of recreation are we going to get ourselves involved in. What kind of relationships are we going to have with people of the opposite sex? What kind of lifestyle are we going to live? All of that stuff needs to be settled, needs to be established. You need to know where you're going in life and how to get there. And you need to know that you're on your way. You've got momentum. You are moving in the direction God wants you to go. But as you are trying to move in the way God wants you to go, you will have opposition. You see, there is somebody that wants to destroy you. The scripture tells us that Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can get you, he will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Isn't God great? You see what he's saying? When God establishes you, the devil himself has no power to overcome in your life. You will be standing firm, and whatever Satan throws your way, it cannot succeed, praise God. God will give you the power when you are established in him. Oh, go over to Psalms. Psalms chapter 93, verse 1. Look at this. This is what being established means. Psalm 93, verse 1. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Look at this. Surely the world is established. There's that word. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Hallelujah. When God establishes you, whatever comes into your life will not be able to move you out of the course that you should be on. See, when God promises to establish us, that means that whatever happens, whatever circumstance comes, you can keep moving and know that God will not allow you to be moved away from where you're supposed to be. What does it mean to prosper? When God says he's going to prosper us, what he means is that we will have everything that we need in life. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. When we talk about God prospering us in life, this is the verse that we take hold of. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God says, believe in my prophets and I will prosper you. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Oh, I love those all words, don't you? Always. What time does always leave out? Always, amen? Having all sufficiency. If you have all sufficiency, what do you lack? Nothing, praise God. And always having all sufficiency in how many things? All things, praise God. So that you will have an abundance for some good works. Every good work. That's God's promise. That's what the prosperity of God is. You know, sometimes people think prosperity means that I'm going to have thousands of dollars in my pocket. Guess what? When you got God with you, you don't need thousands of dollars in your pocket. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can I share something with you? Priscilla and I don't have thousands of dollars in our pocket. But you know what God has people do sometimes? Because God is with us, he has people come up and say, let me just share with you. Let me just give into your ministry. And it's not because we go off saying, oh, we need help, please come help. People say, we want to be involved in what God is doing here, praise God. You see, so we don't look at our pocketbook. We don't look at the bank account. All we look and see is, am I still walking with God? Am I still in position with him? Because if I'm in position with him, guess what? He pays the bills. Amen? Amen. I told y'all once before, Priscilla doesn't carry money. Usually. She doesn't carry money. You know what she does? If we go someplace and she needs money, she'll just turn to me and say, give me some money. Okay. Amen? And if we're at home and she's getting ready to go somewhere where she needs money, all she'll do is go in my desk drawer, pull out my billfold, take the money out, and go do what she needs to do. In other words, catch it. She does not need money as long as I'm around. Amen? Amen? Amen. And see, that's the way it is with God, with us. As long as God is prospering us, we don't have to have all of the worldly possessions that people look at. God is going to meet every need in abundance, and we don't even know how it's going to come. And so that's the promise that God makes to us. He says, I will establish you and I will prosper you if you believe in me. Now, if I were to ask this morning, I'm sure that almost every person in this place would say, I believe in God. But I want to tell you something. My observation is that many Christians don't really understand what it means to believe in God. You see, when the Bible talks about believing in God, it's talking about a lot more than simply acknowledging that he exists. I remember a story that I read, and it's a true story, but it was a long time ago that I read it. I've forgotten some of the details, but it went something like this. There was a young man who had an idea, a creative idea for a new business. And he went to an older man whom he knew was a friend and was wanting to share this idea with him so that this older man would invest in his business. And he started talking and sharing the idea. And the older man sat there and he kind of got a little frown on his face and a skeptical look on his face. And at the end, he said, son, I don't see how this thing can work. And you know, the young man's heart started going down. But then when he said, I don't see how it can work, the next thing he did was he sat down at his desk, pulled out his checkbook, and wrote him a check to invest in the business. And the young man is saying, oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. But if you don't believe the idea will work, why did you write me a check? And the older man says, son, I don't understand your idea, but I believe in you. And because I believe in you, I am willing to invest, not in the idea, but in you. Because I believe that you have the willingness and the ability to do what you said you're going to do, to accomplish what you set out to accomplish. You see, that's what it means to believe in somebody. Not just that they exist, but that you are willing to trust that person to do what they said they are going to do. And that's what God is talking about when he says that he wants us to believe in him. Let me tell you something. I believe in this chair. Amen? Amen. I believe in this chair. How can you tell that I believe in this chair? Because I'm sitting in it. Amen? Notice something. I got my whole weight on this chair. Amen? So obviously, I believe in this chair. Now, you'll notice I pulled that chair out. This one was already sitting here, and I did not pull this one out. Now, some of you men, Tony, you know, Richard, Bill, you know why I didn't pull this chair out. I don't believe in this chair. Amen. I don't believe in this chair. Now, for Kaylee, I believe in this chair. But for me, that's the chair I believe in. Amen. You see, the one I believe in is the one that I'm willing to trust myself to. And oh yes, that one's great. Hallelujah. But this one, let's put it back where it belongs. Amen. You see, if you say, I believe in God, what you are really saying is, I am willing to totally trust him. I am willing to put my whole weight on him. I am willing to invest my whole life in him, in the fact that he will do what he said he's going to do. That's what it means to believe in God. Priscilla believes in me as a driver. Amen? Now, I've shared with you that when I married her, I had to change the way I drive. Being the expert driver that I am, see, I can whip around a corner and have 2 inches to spare and know I got 2 inches to spare. And so it's not a problem for me. I know I'm going to make it. Amen? Now, Priscilla will be sitting over there on the passenger side going, amen? And so I changed. Make life easier for her. Sometimes it gets boring when I drive now, but I did it for her. Amen? Now, she has never told me this, but I know she believes in me as a driver. How do I know she believes in me as a driver? She gets in the car. Amen? She still gets in the car. You see, that is putting your trust, and she's putting her life in my hands. Amen? Let me digress for a moment. Young folks, you need to know this. Whenever you go get into somebody's car, you are putting your life into that person's hands. Amen? You need to assess, is this somebody that I can really trust, put my whole weight on in the way that they drive or in the place that they're going to take me? Amen? Amen. You get that for free. Hallelujah. All right? Now catch it. If you really believe in God, you will trust him to take care of you in any circumstance that you face in life. That's what it means to believe in God. And what I need to do to get myself in position for God to fight the battle for me, he says, I need to really believe in him. So what we want to do today is look at how it is that the people of Judah and Jehoshaphat demonstrated that they truly believed in God when they were faced with the greatest crisis of their life. Number one, when that army came, and they came and they told Jehoshaphat, look at verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20. Verses 3 and 4. Look at how Jehoshaphat reacted when they came and told him about this great army coming to destroy them. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. You know what the first thing they did when they were facing a battle in their lives? The first thing they did was to seek the face of God for deliverance. You need to go first to God. You know, we as a people have a tendency to be self-sufficient. When something happens in our life, we have a tendency to go off and try to fix it. Amen? And men, I have to tell you, we do that more than the ladies do, because we see ourselves as fixers. If there's a problem, hey, I'll go fix the problem. Amen? But what the word of God is telling us is what the people of Judah and Jehoshaphat learned: you need to go first to God. Because if you take off trying to fix the problem, you can mess it up. Amen? Let me just ask, how many of you have ever tried to fix something in your house and you messed it up worse than it was when you started? Let me just see. Amen. I probably ought to see some more men's hands here. Amen. Catch it. When we start off trying to deal with the issue, instead of going first to God, we just get ourselves deeper into trouble. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Look at verses 12 and 13. Here's a man that we've seen before. His name is Asa, and he, like Jehoshaphat, was a king. 2 Chronicles 16, starting with verse 12. Look at what happened to him. And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers. He died in the 41st year of his reign. Do you catch what happened to Asa? Asa had a sickness, had an illness, and it said that he, instead of going first to God, where did he go first? He picked up the phone and called the hospital and said, I need an appointment with my doctor. Amen. And did you catch what the scripture said? It said, because of that, so he rested with his fathers, he died. Amen. What's the scripture telling us? Is there anything wrong with going to the doctor? No, no. Praise God for doctors. Amen. But the problem Asa had was, instead of going first to God, he tried to work it out for himself. And catch it. When you go to the doctors before you go to God, what you get is only what the doctor can give you. Amen. Amen? And I tell you something. I love doctors. Praise God for them. But I would much rather have what God can do for my case than what the best doctor in Harrisburg can do for my case. We need to go first to God. Amen? Don't allow ourselves to be distracted into trying to work things out for ourselves. Catch it. Whatever the situation you are facing, the first thing you need to do is get before God and seriously, I don't mean just a little passing prayer, but seriously get before God and call upon Him to deliver you. You know, if you think about the names of God, He shows us how to call upon Him. For example, when you have an illness in your body and you need to call on God, to put your trust in God, you can call on Him as Jehovah Rapha. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Jehovah God, the Lord, my healer. You get down on your knees and say, God, I'm calling you Jehovah Rapha. That's how you named yourself. I'm coming to you on the basis that you are my healer. And Lord, hallelujah, I'm putting my whole trust in you. Praise God. or perhaps you're facing a financial crisis, then you can call upon God as Jehovah Jireh, praise God. Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides for me in any circumstance. It says, my God shall supply all of my need. How? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, praise God. Perhaps there's confusion and strife going on in your family or on the job or even in the church. Amen. You can call on God as Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord who said he would keep us in perfect peace if we would keep our minds stayed on him. Or maybe all of that's true. Things are just totally out of control in your life. Then you can call on God as Jehovah Ra'ah, the Lord our shepherd. Hallelujah. You remember the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. What? I shall not want. That means there won't be anything that I'm missing in my life. Nothing that I need in my life for me to have the kind of life God intends for me to have. You see, the first thing we need to do is to not worry about the problem, but get down on our knees and seek the face of God to be our deliverer in that situation. Here's the second thing. Not only did they seek God, they waited on him for an answer. Look again at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Oh man, I love this verse because it expresses what we need to do and maybe don't do so much of the time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Catch it. Look at this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. The first thing, they acknowledged that they were powerless to handle it themselves. We need to know that we can't handle the situations, the battles of our lives on our own. Amen? Amen. You know, I have to say this. This is another man thing here. Amen. Men, don't we hate to acknowledge when we can't handle stuff? I got all the amens from the ladies. Let me just ask a simple question. Men, how many of you would rather drive around for a half hour than go into a filling station and ask for directions? Come on, let me see how honest you are. Amen. Amen. You see, we want to handle it ourselves. Amen. We don't want to have to feel like I got to go get somebody's help. But let me tell you something. If you ever think you can handle what life is going to throw at you on your own, you are mistaken. You need help, brother. And the one who can give it to you is El Shaddai, the all-powerful one who can handle any situation in life. We need to go to God and wait on him for an answer to our situation.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Derry Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Derry or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcomchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin. inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.